All right, back in Sunday school this morning, well, actually what happens is sometimes in Sunday school, Bruce walks the men and women, not guys, got to be politically correct. He walks people through workbooks that deal with topics or issues for like 6 weeks at a time or something like that. And from time to time, when Bruce is going to be gone, he'll ask myself or Doug or somebody to fill in for him. And when I do, I will rarely follow the subject that the workbook has for that particular week. I usually just do an off-topic thing. But this week, the subject matter was on what? Religions. And true religions, false religions, whatever. Actually, the title was, Aren't All Religions the Same? And in my early years of being a Christian, I had a great interest in studying various religions. And therefore, when I saw what the topic for Sunday school was this morning, it just was a subject that I liked, and so I kind of stayed on course. We did talk about the subject of religions, okay. The problem, though, is that there is so much talk about religions and that subject of religions that even though I'd been studying for something else for my message today, yesterday morning I just decided I'd go ahead and give a sermon on the subject of false religion or religions. One of the questions I asked the folks in the back in Sunday school room was, actually it was the first question I asked, was define religion. The ones I was given is a belief in something. Best thing you can have. Belief in a spiritual being. Set of beliefs that guide actions and morals. Doctrine of beliefs. Here are some various definitions I got off the internet. Religion is any system of faith and worship. The service and worship of God or the supernatural, a pursuit or interest to which someone ascribes supreme importance, the belief in and worship of God, of a God or gods, or any such system of belief or worship, the belief in and worship of a superhuman controlling power, especially a personal God or gods, a system of belief that is a person's ultimate standard for reality, their worldview, a set of beliefs concerning the cause, nature, and purpose of the universe, especially when considered as the creation of a superhuman agency or agencies, usually involving devotional or ritual observances, often containing a moral code governing the conduct of human affairs. As you can probably tell, there is no universally accepted definition of religion. As a matter of fact, there are probably as many definitions of religion as there are religions. It is believed, this was another question we had in Sunday school this morning, is how many religions do you think there might be? Anybody want to take a shot in the dark? 150. In Sunday school, we heard thousands and we heard hundreds. Now we've got 150. Anybody else? You're right. About 4,200 to 4,500 religions in the world today is what they believe is out there. And in addition to those 4,500 religions, it is believed that 90% of the world's population believes in at least one of them. That leads me to my next question. And this was kind of Brenda's thing. How do all these religions come about? How do these religions come into being? You know, if you think back to Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3, you start out with an Adam, you start out with his wife Eve, and you start out with God, and you have one single belief system. How did we end up with 4,500 different belief systems? If at the beginning of time there was just one particular belief system, How has religion become what it is today? Well, the answer to that is actually quite extensive. A lot of tentacles on that, but I want to try to make it as simple as I can. To begin with, we have to understand how God made us. In other words, we need to understand who we are by nature. And these are things that I have talked about many, many times, so it's going to sound repetitive because it is. But I think that these are the things that are key to understanding how we have ended up with thousands of different religions. John 4:24, Jesus says this, God is spirit. Plain and simple, God is a spiritual being. He is the spiritual being. And then we know that when God created man, he made us in his and likeness. So when God created man, who is spirit, he made us in his image and his likeness. One of the things that means is that he had created us to be spiritual beings, spiritual creatures. Therefore, we are by nature interested in spiritual things. Psalm 19 and Romans 1 that we talked about in Sunday school briefly tells us that creation and nature alone gives all of mankind throughout all of history a clear and unequivocal testimony to the existence of and the character of God. Therefore, it is part of our makeup to believe that there is a supernatural being that created all things. And then we got Ecclesiastes 3:11 that says, when God created us, he put eternity in our hearts. Therefore, it's just a natural thing for everyone to believe that there is some kind of afterlife after we die. Can you turn the thermostat up, please? It is natural for people to think that there is something beyond their time here on earth. Now, if you add those things up, every person that has ever lived or is a spiritual being. Every person that has ever lived is a spiritual being or was a spiritual being that has been made aware that there is indeed a loving and caring and powerful and creative supernatural being that made everything, while having a belief that there is some kind of afterlife once we die. All of that stuff is ingrained in us. But then there's a couple other things that are a part of our nature as well that plays a significant role in helping us to understand why there are so many religions. One of those things is that we are all, what? Starts with an S. Sinners. We're sinners by nature, but we're sinners by practice. And the other thing, according to Romans 2:15 that we talked about in Sunday school, is that also by nature, we are all given a conscience that alarms us when we violate the standards that God has called us to live by. Because Romans 2:15 says God put his law in all of our hearts. And so what happens is this. As we come into this world and we begin our journey going through life, we begin to develop our own set of thoughts and ideas and philosophies and habits and morals and ethics and beliefs and so on and so forth. The problem with that, though, is our belief systems and our so-called convictions are shaped and formed by minds and feelings that are flawed and sinful. And so typically one of two things will happen as a result. One would be we form our spiritual beliefs around the desires of our sinful nature, therefore leading us to create a God that is accepting of the morals we have decided should be acceptable morals, which in turn begins to silence our conscience and therefore deadens our feelings of guilt when we sin. The other thing would be this. We think that we begin to think that we have made the God we invented angry by the things we're doing. A lot of people out there who are in other religions believe their God is angry at them because of what they've done. So they begin to make up their own set of rules to go by. They begin to make up their own man-made rituals and ceremonies that they need to perform so that they think they can appease their angry God that they have made up. So the end result is this. A man invents a God made in their image and in their likeness. And then they establish a set of beliefs and practices around the God they invented. And then you find enough like-minded sinners to agree with you, and now all of a sudden you got a religion going. Ultimately, what happens is man makes up religions that will allow them to feel better about themselves. Choosing a religion is really like going to a buffet. And I know some of you can relate to that. You just look across the buffet of religions and you choose the ones or the one that fits your moral and spiritual taste buds. And so when you figure how many billions and billions of sinful people have lived in man on earth during man's 6,000 years of history, it is actually very surprising that there are only 4,500 religions. Now, before I go any further, I want to say that we talked about this in Sunday school. I'm one that believes Christianity is not a religion. But for the sake of discussion, I'm going to refer to it as a religion. Now, with all that being said, how do you know which religions are false and which ones are true? Let me take it a step further. As a Christian, we believe there is only one true religion. As a matter of fact, if someone claims to be a Christian and believes that there are other true religions out there, their Christianity is actually questionable because they're going against everything God teaches us in His Word. And so how can we say that there is only one true religion and the rest of the religions are false? The answer to that is quite extensive. Take a lot longer than a few minutes to explain or to answer. You can approach that from various directions. You can, again, the question is, how can we say there's only one true religion and the rest of them are false? You can approach that from a scholarly or academic viewpoint. You can approach that from a scientific viewpoint, an apologetic viewpoint, a historical viewpoint. You can approach that from a linguistic standpoint or an archaeological viewpoint. You can come in from a doctrinal or a theological side and you can begin to explain that. But again, I want to try to keep this simple. Out of approximately 4,500 religions in the world, you would think there'd be at least more than one that was true. I mean, how can we say that out of 4,500 religions, 4,499 of them are false and only one is true? I mean, isn't that kind of like being narrow-minded? Well, let me put it this way. Let's look at this from a common sense perspective and see if this makes sense. If you was to gather 4,500 people and you ask them, what does 2 plus 2 equal? And out of the 4,500 people, only one of them says the answer is 4. How many of those people are right? Why are you guys slow on that one? Let's try that again. If you got 4,500 people and you say, what is 2 plus 2 and only one says 4, how many are right? That would mean that out of 4,500 people, 4,499 people are wrong. Isn't that kind of narrow-minded? What about if all of the other 4,499 people were thoroughly convinced that they was right and they could show you how they came up with that answer? How many of those people would be right? Isn't that kind of narrow-minded? My point is this. There is such a thing as absolute truth. We live in a day and age where the postmodern mindset is, pluralistic, meaning that truth is relative. In other words, what I believe is true, what you believe is true, even if they contradict each other because you believe it's true and I believe it's true. That's the postmodern mindset we have that is pluralistic. What you believe is true is as equal in truth as what I believe is true, even if they're different. Even though we might have opposing views, we are both right. Because whatever I believe is true and whatever you believe is true and they're equal. I'm pretty sure we might call that postmodern mindset. We might call it pluralistic, but God says that's stupid. Okay? Plain and simple. Anyway, I'm going to assume that if you're already a Christian, then you're in agreement that the Bible is God's source of absolute truth for us. As a matter of fact, if someone claims to be a Christian and they do not believe that God's word is absolute truth, then their Christianity is questionable because that goes against everything God teaches us in His word. So that takes me to the first question. What does a religion believe is their source of absolute truth? Do they have another so-called Bible they use? Do they have another book that they use in addition to the Bible? If so, they are a false religion. Some of the more popular religions that would apply to that would be the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, Islam. They all have their own separate Bible, or they all have a separate book that they use in addition to the Bible. God tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that the scriptures that we call the Bible, they are the ones that He inspired for mankind to tell us everything we need to know about God and about righteousness. The next question for testing a false religion is, who do they say Jesus is? That was talked about in Sunday school a little bit. And the verses, they're just too numerous to list, that claim and explain that Jesus is and was 100% God and 100% man. From Genesis to Revelation, Jesus is eternal. He is deity. He is identified as being equal with both the Father and the Holy Spirit. So any religion that claims otherwise about Jesus is a false religion. And believe it or not, every religion in the world except for Roman Catholicism teaches a different Jesus than the Jesus in the Bible. In God's written source of absolute truth, we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, Paul tells the Corinthians, he actually chastises the Corinthian Christians because they begin to accept the teachings that described a different Jesus than the one that he had taught them about. And then the third question of how do you know a false religion from the true religion is, what is that religion's gospel? In other words, what do they say has to happen for man to obtain God's forgiveness? What does man have to do to get to go to heaven? And over and over and over, God tells us in His written source of absolute truth that there is absolutely no works, there is absolutely no amount of good deeds that a person can ever do that will cause God to forgive them. Over and over and over, God tells us in His written source of absolute truth that there is absolutely no works, there is no amount of good deeds that a person can do that will cause God to allow them to come into His heaven. Over and over and over, God tells us in His written source of absolute truth that Jesus took care of all that for us. And if we will place our faith in Him and what He did on the cross, God will, by grace, grant us forgiveness and give us eternal life. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, verses you're probably somewhat familiar with. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. And so believe it or not, every religion in the world, including Roman Catholicism, teaches that we have to do stuff. We have to perform certain duties. We have to partake in different ceremonies or rituals in order to obtain God's forgiveness and get to go into His heaven. Now, there's a number of other things that can be used as a test in order to discern a true religion versus false religion. We got things, and we talked about these in Sunday school briefly. We got things like the incarnation. We got things like the virgin birth. We've got things like resurrection, crucifixion, baptism, so on and so forth. But the three things that I just named are certainly indicators to help us identify a false religion. The virgin birth of Jesus, the incarnation of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, the deity of Jesus. These are all foundational to biblical Christianity. They are essential in the doctrinal teachings of biblical Christianity, and they should certainly be included in that process of discerning true religion from false religion. But the odds are pretty good that if a religion is already wrong on the three I named, their view of Scripture, their view of Jesus, and their view of the gospel, they're going to be wrong on everything else. Now, as I get ready to wrap up, I said earlier that, and I've said this many times down through the years, I'm not one that believes Christianity is a religion. And really, it comes down to which definition of religion do you go by? And that varies. So I guess you could say it is a religion, and however you want to look at that. I'm just of the mindset, I've always said Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. That's one of the key differences between religions and Christianity. Because religions are all about what we do so that we can reach God. Christianity is all about what God did so He could reach us. Christianity is all about what God did for us, not what we can do for ourselves. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He sent. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become righteousness of God in Him. Folks, Jesus didn't come into the world to start another religion. He came into this world to make reconciliation for our broken relationship with God. Christianity, when a person comes to faith in Christ, they're not signing up for a new religion. They're not signing up for any religion. They're signing up to be adopted into the family of God. Christianity is about being born into the family of God. In that respect, Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship that God has established with us, His children, and He has done everything He can do to make reconciliation possible. In Christianity, God is the aggressor in the relationship. We're the benefactors. We're the ones that benefit. So religion as a whole is all about what I can do to gain favor with God. It's all about what I can do to gain access to His kingdom. It's all about what I can do to appease His anger. Christianity is all about what He did to make all those things possible. Romans 8, 3 and 4, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His Son, or his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on the account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. God took care of everything for us. Our part, as I close this morning, is to put our faith and our belief in what God did. And that is simply Jesus took our place, paid our price that we don't want to pay, nor could we pay. And by surrendering ourselves to Him, putting our faith in what He has done, He grants us graciously forgiveness that we do not deserve, mercifully gives us a ticket to His kingdom, gives us eternal life. That's the gospel in a nutshell. Let me just ask you, 4,500 religions in the world, how many of you know of someone, a loved one, a family member, that may be in a false religion? I know Brenda mentioned some earlier. Anybody else? We probably all have either known someone or do know someone that is. Everything I said defined a false religion, obviously, I put it in the sense that man was behind it. And there's no question that Satan has his hands in on that as well. Scripture talks about the doctrine of demons. But you know, ultimately, you can remove Satan out of the picture and man will still come up with his own set of false beliefs because of who we are by nature.